Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, June the 15th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study of your word today. We're grateful for what we have learned in the past, and we look forward to the future, knowing, of course, that you will continue to guide us in the path of righteousness and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the 12th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. For they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou see not the ground. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity, and in the even I digged through the wall with mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hast not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall scatter them among the nations, and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness. And say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness, and drink their water with astonishment, that our land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Apparently the children of Israel would listen to the preaching and say, oh, this is not going to happen anytime soon. We can live, we can have a wonderful time, and everything is going to be fine. These prophecies, if they come to pass at all, won't come to pass in our lifetime, perhaps not even in our children's lifetime. God says, Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the words which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. In the book Evangelism, page 363 and paragraph 3, it says this, The light given me has been very forcible that many would go out from us, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Lord desires that every soul who claims to believe the truth shall have an intelligent knowledge of what is truth. False prophets will arise and will deceive many. Everything is to be shaken that can be shaken. Then doth it not become everyone to understand the reason for our faith? In place of having so many sermons, there should be more close searching of the Word of God. Opening the Scriptures text by text and searching for the strong evidences that sustain the fundamental doctrines that have brought us where we now are upon the platform of eternal truth. Let me repeat that paragraph for you. The book Evangelism, page 363 and paragraph 3. Everything is to be shaken that can be shaken. Then does it not become everyone to understand the reason for our faith? In place of having so many sermons, there should be a more close searching of the Word of God, opening the Scriptures text by text and searching for the strong evidences that sustain the fundamental doctrines that have brought us where we now are, upon the platform of eternal truth. My soul is made very sad to see how quickly some who have had light and truth will accept the deceptions of Satan and be charmed with a spurious holiness. When men turn away from the landmarks of the Lord and establish that we may understand our position as marked out in prophecy, they are going they know not whither. Spurious doctrines, spurious piety, spurious faith, much that is fair in appearance, abound all around us. Teachers will come clothed as angels of light, and if possible, they will deceive the very elect. The youth need to learn all they can of the truth, if they would not be deceived by the tissue of falsehood that Satan will invent. They need to live in the sunlight of Christ's righteousness. They need to be rooted and grounded in the truth, that they may impart to others the light they receive. There is no safety, much less benefit, for our people in attending these popular holiness meetings. Let us rather search the Scriptures with much carefulness and earnest prayer, that we may understand the ground of our faith. Then we shall not be tempted to mingle with those who, while making high claims, are in opposition to the law of God. We must not have a sensational religion which has no root in truth. Solid instruction must be given to the people upon the reason of our faith. They must be educated to a far greater extent than they have been in the doctrines of the Bible, and especially in the practical lessons that Jesus gave to the disciples. The believers must be impressed with their great need of Bible knowledge. There must be painstaking effort to fasten in the minds of all the solid arguments of the truth. For everyone will be tested. And those who are rooted and grounded in the work of God will be unmoved by the heresies they will arise on all sides. And if any neglect to obtain the necessary preparation, they will be swept away by errors that have the appearance of truth. It is our individual duty to walk humbly with God. We are not to seek any strange new message. We are not to think that the chosen ones of God who are trying to walk in the light compose Babylon. The fallen denominational churches are Babylon. Babylon has been fostering poisonous doctrines, the wine of error. This wine of error is made up of false doctrines, such as the natural immortality of the soul, the eternal torment of the wicked, the denial of the preexistence of Christ prior to his birth in Bethlehem. And advocating and exalting the first day of the week above God's holy sanctified day. These and kindred errors are presented to the world by the various churches. Fallen angels upon earth form confederacies with evil men. In this age, Antichrist will appear as the true Christ, and then the law of God will be fully made void in the nations of the world. Rebellion against God's holy law will be fully ripe. But the true leader of all this rebellion is Satan, clothed as an angel of light. Men will be deceived and will exalt him to the place of God and deify him. It is not enough to merely read, but the word of God must enter into our hearts and our understanding in order that we may establish in the blessed truth. If we should neglect to search the scriptures for ourselves, that we may know what is truth, then if we are led astray, we are accountable for it. We must search the scriptures carefully, so that we will know every condition that the Lord has given us. And if we have minds of limited capacity, by diligently searching the word of God, we may become mighty in the scriptures and may explain them to others. Many will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits. Patriarchs and Prophets and Great Controversy are books that are especially adapted to those who have newly come to the faith, that they may be established in the truth. The dangers are pointed out that should be avoided by the churches. Those who become thoroughly acquainted with the lessons in these books will see the dangers before them and will be able to discern the plain, straight path marked out for them. It will be kept from strange paths. It will make straight paths for their feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way. In Desire of Ages, Patriarchs and Prophets, Great Controversy, and Daniel in the Revelation, there is precious instruction. These books must be regarded as of especial importance, and every effort should be made to get them before the people. Hasty and inconsiderate actions result from a lack of judgment and lead to wrongdoing. But that which is most to be lamented is that the young converts will be hurt by this influence and their confidence in the cause of God shaken. Let us pray that when the time comes, we may be ready. The book Evangelism 367 in paragraph 1 talks about reclaiming the backsliders. Listen to this. Care should be exercised to educate the young converts. They're not to be left to themselves, to be led away by false presentations, to walk in a false way. Let the watchmen be constantly on guard, lest souls shall be beguiled by soft words and fair speech and sophistry. Teach faithfully all that Christ has commanded. Everyone who receives Christ is to be trained to act some part in the great work to be accomplished in our world. Upon all new converts should be impressed the truth that abiding knowledge can be gained only by earnest labor and persevering study. As a result, those who are converted to the truth we preach have not previously been diligent students of the scriptures. Let me read that sentence again for you. As a rule, those who are converted to the truth we preach have not previously been diligent students of the scriptures. For in the popular churches, there is little real study of the word of God. The people look to the ministers to search the scriptures for them and explain what they teach. Many accept the truth without digging down deep to understand its foundational principles. And when it is opposed, they forget the arguments and evidences that sustain it. They have been led to believe the truth, but have not been fully instructed as to what truth is, or carried forward from point to point in the knowledge of Christ. Too often their piety degenerates into a form And when the appeals that first aroused them are no longer heard, they become spiritually dead. Those who are sent by God to do a special work will be called to rebuke heresies and errors. They should exercise Bible charity toward all men, presenting the truth as it is in Jesus. Some will be most earnest and zealous in their resistance to the truth, but while their faults must be exposed unflinchingly and their evil practices condemned, long-suffering patience and forbearance must be exercised toward them. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. The church may be called upon to dismiss from their fellowship those who will not be corrected. It is a painful duty that has to be done. Sad indeed is such a step, and it should not be taken until every other means of correcting and saving the one in error has failed. Christ never made peace by anything like compromise. The heart of God's servant will overflow with love and sympathy for the erring, as represented by the parable of the lost sheep, but they will have no soft words for sin. They show the truest friendship who reprove error and sin without partiality and without hypocrisy. Jesus lived in the midst of a sinful and perverse generation. He could not be at peace with the world unless he left them unwarned, unreproved, and this would not be in accordance with the plan of salvation. God is not pleased with the slothful work done in the churches. He expects his stewards to be true and faithful in giving reproof and correction. They are to expel wrong after the rule of God has given in his word, not according to their own ideas and impulses. No harsh means must be used, no unfair, hasty, impulsive work done. The efforts made to cleanse the church from moral uncleanness must be made in God's way. There must be no partiality, no hypocrisy. There must be no favorites whose sins are regarded as less sinful than those of others. Oh, how much we all need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we shall always work with the mind of Christ, with kindness, compassion, and sympathy, showing love for the sinner while hating sin with a perfect hatred. Contentions in the body of believers are not after the order of God. They result from the manifestation of the attributes of the natural heart. To all who bring in disorder and disunion, the words of Paul are applicable. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Paul here addressed the people whose advancement was not proportionate to their privileges and opportunities. They ought to have been able to bear the hearing of the plain word of God, but they were in a position in which the disciples were when Christ said to them, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. They ought to have been far advanced in spiritual knowledge, able to comprehend and practice the higher truths of the word. But they were unsanctified. They had forgotten that they must be purged from their hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong, and that they must not cherish carnal attributes. It is impossible for the apostle to reprove wrongdoing without some who claim to believe the truth becoming offended. The inspired testimony could do these no good, but they had lost their spiritual discernment. Jealousy, evil surmising, and accusing closed the door to the working of the Holy Spirit. Paul would gladly have dwelt upon higher and more difficult truths, truths which were rich in nourishment, but his instruction would have been cut directly across their tendencies to jealousy and would not have been received. The divine mysteries of godliness, which would have enabled them to grasp the truths necessary for that time, could not be spoken. The apostle must select lessons which, like milk, could be taken without irritating the digestive organs. Truth of the deepest interest could not be spoken, because the hearers would misapply and misappropriate them, presenting them to you young converts who needed only the more simple truths of the word. What a sobering description of the church we see here. We find ourselves today not ready to absorb the truths that we ought to be absorbing. We're willing to sit and listen to men preach, say amen and go home without once looking in the scriptures and searching deep in the word for an understanding for ourselves. And because of this, our characters are not transformed, our commitment is not deepened with the Lord. We are not able to help ourselves rather than help others. The Church of God today needs to spend some time in the word. And instead of the sermons, we need to spend some time in studying and comparing the scriptures so that we might get a clear understanding of what it is God wants us to do and to be. We must not have a sensational religion, which has no root in truth. Solid instruction must be given to the people upon the reason of our faith. The believers must be impressed with their great need of Bible knowledge. There must be a painstaking effort to fasten in the minds of all the solid arguments of the truth. For everyone will be tested, and those who are rooted and grounded in the work of God will be unmoved by the heresies that will arise on all sides. So today, will you make a new commitment? Will you say to the Lord, Lord, I will follow you all the way. I will spend some time beginning today searching the scriptures, committing myself to prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide so that I might grow according to the truth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead. We thank you that you continue to warn. We thank you that you continue to instruct. We ask that you would give us the commitment necessary starting today to go forward in that attitude of prayerful seeking of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June the 15th, 2019.